Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The celebration of our Lord's ascension has come and gone, the 40th day following Easter, this past Thursday. That means that we are simply now 7 days away from the ending of the season of Easter, which occurs at the coming of Pentecost next Sunday. Throughout the Easter season, our gospel texts have been from the Gospel of St. John, taking us back through the upper room discourse, words Jesus gives to his disciples before his crucifixion. There, Jesus gives comfort, assurance to his followers that no matter what is coming down the road for them, especially with his suffering and death, he will not leave them. That he will always be with them. And so he continues to prepare, to make ready his followers for what is to come, especially for them as they're in their role as leaders of Christ's church following his ascension. When the Holy Spirit does come on that day of Pentecost, given to those disciples of Jesus, the church will forever be changed. They will be clothed with power from on high, armor of God, as our hymns have said. And those disciples of Jesus then will stand up before all the world, proclaiming the work of salvation won by Jesus. No longer will those men back down to any opposition or any intimidation. These great words of our Lord Jesus to his disciples also serve to give us hope in the struggles that we face, even some 2,000 years later. The one holy Christian and apostolic church, which we confess, is called to remain faithful to God's word, no matter what. This continues to be difficult for the church in this world to stand firm in the midst of such strong social opposition, moral opposition, ethical opposition to God's holy word. Topics like that of abortion, same-sex marriages, and gender issues continue to bring division in this God's world, but even in Christ's own church. Thankfully, the problem is not that God's word is unclear. In fact, it is quite clear, despite all that is happening around us. And so in John 17, our gospel text for today, Jesus prays what is called the high priestly prayer. He says, "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, and that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." The Lord Jesus, in his final hours before his death upon the cross, prayed for our unity to be rooted firmly and solely in him and him alone. While all of this has been going on, the struggles that Jesus' disciples would face and those of Jesus' future followers, we've also been given glimpses of something better still to come. And Jesus prophesied to his disciples about what was to come for them in this world as the leaders of Christ's church. But we've also heard throughout this season of Easter various words from the book of Revelation. From that mysterious book, we have been given pictures of what is still to come with the new heavens and the new earth. And what John sees in God's kingdom, and thus what he records for all posterity, is true and beyond compare. We are stunned by what John sees. But even that, what he sees and what he records, is a vision limited by our own finite capabilities. It is likened to a spider or some other insect trying to speak effectively about the human being standing before him, when all that he knows is his own forms of communication and not that of a higher power. So we have these words from John to communicate as best possible. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Right away, John's hearer of his word notes the water of life reference. The Lord Jesus himself made mention to this life-giving water in his interaction with the woman at the well from John chapter 4. He says there, "Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." In God's kingdom, in which will be the new heavens and the new earth, there will be a river made up of that water of life. It will be flowing forth from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Literal or not, such an idea is truly outstanding. Rivers are majestic creations of God. And this one, flowing forth from his throne, is well beyond compare. And seen on either side of this river, the great tree of life. No doubt John's here is again taken back to the Garden of Eden this time, that first earthly paradise. There the tree of life was given as a gift to Adam and Eve. Yet they were then forbidden to eat of it following their sin against God. But here, it is present in abundance. On either side of the great river of life, the street that goes forth in the city of God, its fruits come forth each and every month, and its leaves give healing to all the nations. We know of no such tree in this world that can do such amazing things year in and year out and bear its fruit each and every month and in abundance for all. But life in God's kingdom is truly that. Life in utmost abundance beyond compare. The servants of Christ Jesus, John says there, will worship him. Night will be no more. No light of lamp or even of the sun will be needed in this great kingdom. For the Lord God will be their perfect light. And even the worshipers of Christ, those who believe in him in this life, they will reign forever and ever. Now it is true that John did not receive this revelation of what is to come until later in his lifetime, after that of the deaths of the other disciples. So they were not privy to this special vision of John that we are blessed to receive. But that does not mean that those disciples of Jesus had not already heard similar types of things from the Lord Jesus himself. For truly, they had some idea of the Lord's great power and of his glory as God's only Son in the flesh. Again, from Jesus' prayer, our gospel for today, Jesus says, "The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one." And he further prays, "Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you have loved me before the foundation of the world." Jesus has given them His glory, eternal as it is, to His dear followers, and then even to you and to me. He wants us all to see His glory, to marvel at the spectacle that is our true and our wondrous God. And thinking of Jesus in His great glory, hearing the words of the revelation to St. John, you cannot help but get excited about all that is still to come for the followers of Christ. It's truly beyond compare for us. We have nothing with which to draw any real comparison in this life. For all that we have and all that we know is but a mere glimpse of what is still to come. Even the greatest kingdoms that this world's history have ever known were plagued with corruption and controversy, have long since come to an end. The wealthiest nations of this earth continue on in sinfulness and disease, death and destruction. We can only begin to imagine what the glory and the majesty of God's kingdom must be like. St. Paul writes then in Romans chapter 8, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God." That is truly a beautiful concept. Such an anticipation of what is still to come then gives us the best possible perspective on all that happens in this life. Our sins, which are many, for which we deserve death and hell, will be forever removed from us. We will never know sin or temptation to sin again. Slow and agonizing illnesses and deaths of loved ones will be far removed, retreat far into the past once the new life has begun. There will be no conflict, no deception, no selfish motivations, no hatred, no jealousy, no anxiety, no fear in the new heavens and the new earth. And again, all of this is impossible for us to fully comprehend, even to begin to imagine. Yet it is promised, and it is even guaranteed. And all because of Jesus. His life, His death have won it all. His sacrifice upon the cross, His resurrection from the dead, have made it all possible and have made it all real. His word, His sacraments, give that promise to us freely. And so for now, we wait with eager anticipation for this new day to begin, even as the creation itself groans. For now, it is all beyond compare. For it is all as Jesus promised, in perfection, in its full glory. And it is very good indeed. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, now and to life everlasting. Amen.